On Tuesday, those with a cell phone were awoken by a strange alarm. An Amber Alert was issued for a child in danger. We may have all manner of complaints against the system, especially for unexpected wake-ups or one more distracted driver excuse, and I hope this might be low-hanging fruit or preaching to the choir, but I'm okay with being woken up for an alert that may save someone's life. And I could tell you that this system has been eye-opening, more than just for 5 a.m. wake-ups. The most disturbing thing about the invasion of our rest or solitude or quiet time is not just the amount of people complaining and calling 911 that their phone was making a whole lot of noise, but just how often it happens. My eyes have been opened to the frequency, to the heartbreaking reality of how often kids or people go missing. Sam, my youngest, got away from me in the store this week, and I can tell you my heart nearly jumped through my chest for the seconds that it took to track him down. We live in a society that is ever fracturing and dividing, where half the people would rather to opt out of an Amber Alert system and never care to get involved, even if it meant to save one person. It's kind of like the organ donation program, which I realize is a touchy subject for those with particular religious beliefs, but I applaud Nova Scotia and their move to adopt presumed consent when it comes to organ donation. Because you know what? The scary thing is, we kind of need to be forced into compassion sometimes, because it's not as commonplace as it should be. It's why Jesus uses the language of commandment when teaching the disciples of their call to ministry. This scene, it comes right at the beginning of the passion narrative with Jesus and his disciples gathered in an upper room. Jesus washes the disciples' feet in this act of intimacy and love and service, become a model for their participation in the world. The disciples were to wash the feet of the world. They were to care for the smelly and cracked and broken places and not regard them with judgment, but instead with compassion and love. So using the word commandment made the disciples take notice. They knew that word, and they knew it in relationship to God. God was the first to give commandments. It wasn't just a long list of what you shouldn't do, even though that's how it's been framed ever since. The commandments were ways of being in relationship with God and with others, how to serve the world with compassion and love. The commandments remind us that murder and stealing and adultery and lying and envy, all of these hurt others and ourselves, and they do nothing to add to the compassion of the world. And so in preparing to leave his disciples, Jesus talks very little about the religious structure they should build around their beliefs, the boards and the councils they should create, the theological frameworks they should enact, the hymns or even the scriptures that they should write. Instead, like the entirety of his ministry, he shows the disciples what to do. He shows them how to love. Jesus doesn't turn a blind eye to the needy in his community. He notices those who need healing. He hears the cry of the hungry on the hillside and arranges for lunch. Jesus pays attention to the fears of the disciples, and out of love, he calms the sea. The resurrected Christ even allows Thomas to touch the crucifixion wounds because Thomas needs that. Jesus time and again shows that love, in order to be called love, must be demonstrable. That means we need to be able to show it. Because our dictionary definitions of love fail us. Jesus' view of love is very much of a verb. It's an action. It's not something you just feel here and it's a nice warm feeling. It's something you live out. Love is as simple as a 5 a.m. text, chasing your children around a store, listening to another's concerns, cooking once a month a church meal, supporting the education of students in Kenya, buying diapers for mothers in need. Love makes demands of you. It can be painful or annoying or costly or sleep depriving. Love is resisting our natural human reaction to worry about ourselves and our problems first and give deference to others. I don't know if you're familiar with the band Lumineers, but they sing a song called Stubborn Love, and it says, "The opposite of love is indifference." And likely they were quoting Elie Wiesel, a survivor of the Holocaust and a human rights activist. He dedicated his life to ensuring that humanity would not forget the events under the Nazi regime. More importantly, Wiesel wanted every state and international organization to work towards a world that would never stand for genocide again, forcing every nation to understand that the opposite of love is indifference. It's equally important to fight indifference, he said, and the attitude that it's no concern of mine. Because he said that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference, it's apathy, it's malaise, it's not paying attention, it's yelling at your phone at 5 a.m. We can stand indifferently to the world. It requires nothing of us to ignore the cries coming from the nursery. Right? It requires nothing of us. It even gets easier as we age. You just go click. It's easier on our wallets and our hearts and our souls and our minds to just pretend that God will deal with the problems of the world. That theology is dangerously fatalistic. And it's easily outweighed by the pithy quote, and please, I apologize, I couldn't find the source of this. I know it's not written by me because I'm not this smart. So, the quote goes, "I wanted to ask God why there was so much suffering in the world, so much pain, so much hunger, but then I thought I better not ask, because what would happen if God asked me the same question?" Love, in order for it to be called love, must be demonstrable. In Paul's words, and awesome that Brady picked up on it, Paul talked about love being patience and kindness. It resists envy and boasting and arrogance and rudeness. It bears with, it believes, it hopes, it endures. Love isn't easy. It's the best unsaid thing that we talked about with the kids. It doesn't say that I'm going to love you as long as you're easy to go along with, as long as you shake my hand at the door and say, "Great sermon, Chris." That's not love. We love our partners when we're unlovable, when they're unlovable too. We love our children when they're not behaving. We love our pewmate even when they sing out of key. We love our neighbors when they don't respect our fences. This is challenging love. Jesus doesn't say, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you," when you were fighting about who was most important, when you weren't paying attention to the needs of others, when you wanted to keep me for yourselves, when you fought against what I must do. "I've loved you through all of that, and likewise you should love one another." I took a course just recently on conflict, and it was a fascinating course because it not only talked about conflict resolution, but it talked about the change in our society. This person talked about clips from the 1970s political debates, and how in the 70s, the politicians would acknowledge the difference of the other, and acknowledge the speaker, and say, "Well, that's not what I and my party believe," and go to outline what and how they actually believed. Instead of these tear down campaigns that we have now, with one voice shouting over the other, hoping for a Twitter retreat of, oh my God, do you know what Justin Trudeau just said? We are walking down this path of hatred that just pulls us farther and farther and farther from one another. So this course was talking about how we could, even when we are so deeply divided, see the benefit of one another's side. Find commonality, a both and between groups, because we have lost the art to disagree and not hate. We've lost the art of seeing difference as something that's beneficial to our society. We've lost the art of love. And you can rag on the church all you want, but this is where I learned how we don't all have to agree with one another. This is where I learned that generations can get along even though they fight. This has been the best marriage coach I've ever had. Because I see couples that argue in board meetings and still go home together and show up to church again on Sunday morning. We have something special and unique about this love because it doesn't make sense. It's not humanly ingrained in our being. It's something that is taught, and it's something that we are a part of. And so I'm going to invite you into an exercise because it's not super commonplace. So those that are better at it, good for you. And we need your help. Because we're going to define love, just as we did with the kids, okay? And I was totally going to sing, and I'm chickening out now. So there's a song, I don't know if it's 90s, where's my young people? There's a song that asks the question, what is love? Baby, don't hurt. Anyway, okay, so I want to find out what actually is love. So if you think of yourself, unmarred by the world, unconnected to the world, how would you describe love for self? Shout it out and I will try to repeat it. Yourself, we're starting with right here. Acceptance. Understanding. Self-compassion. Looking after yourself. What's that, Tom?
Bathing.
Like bathing? Oh, exciting. Oh.
Thank you.
No worries. So doing something exciting? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Riding on roller coasters because they get your heart going. Absolutely.
Forgiving.
Contentment? Or commitment? Contentment. Unselfish. Open up? Absolutely. Not keeping our emotions bottled up? Absolutely, Tom. Forgiving. It's almost hard to start with self. So what is love for others? And don't say, that whole list of what we just said. Affection? Accepting others? I'm air high-fiving.
Thank
you. Unconditional. Compassion.
Commitment. Respect. Acceptance. Patience. Empathy. Sympathy. Devotion. I'm going to mic you, Tom. Devotion? Absolutely. Appreciation. Okay, what about, what is love lived out in, let's say, church or community? Caring. Involvement. Did you say caring? Generosity. Sharing. You see how they all sort of belong to each other, right? They all have not just a similar root of love, but the similar aspect of pushing us beyond ourselves. What is love for God then? How do we live that out? Sorry? Everything we talked about?
Shining your joyfulness.
Caring for each other.
Listening. What is love for the...
Sorry, Tom. I missed that. Knitting? Absolutely. We had our prayer shawls last week. Absolutely. What does love for the earth look like?
Conserving. I missed that.
Caring.
Sharing.
Awesome.
Buying less. Reducing carbon footprint. Let me tell you, he's not here. Oh, I have a child. The older one. I have two. The older one just took a carbon footprint test and is now a pescatarian. Sounds religious. We have had a conversion in our home. He only eats vegetables and fish and a little bit of dairy. Because he realized his carbon footprint was larger than he was comfortable with. So, caring for the earth is important work. As much as we want to ignore it, it's 27 today. There was like snow a couple weeks ago. This ain't tomorrow. This ain't normal. Okay, what is love for those who annoy you? Tolerance. Amen. Or those who disagree with you. Or those who disagree with you politically. Take that, Alabama. All right. Sorry. How do we understanding? Communication, sorry, Tom?
Loving.
Which is really hard to do. Listening. Caring. Praying. Open-minded. Respect. Absolutely. It gets, the more we move it from here outside of us, it gets more and more difficult. That love, as it travels beyond us, gets more costly, more important, as it pushes beyond us and our needs. And it is so vital. This scripture, I've probably referenced more than any others, because if we don't get this right, or at least try to struggle with this, the rest of them fall apart. This, love and how we live it out, is what is going to change this world. It always has. That's why 2,000 years later, we're kind of still talking about Jesus. It was a love that wasn't experienced at his time. It was unconventional. It didn't fit, and it still don't. Sorry for the grammar. It still doesn't fit in our world. But it allows us to turn from ourselves to one another, to turn from our political views to another, to turn from our way of being to another in love, and see in that other person or other community, other state, the light of God as it shines in unique and challenging ways. For this love is not, nor will it ever be easy, but it is the love of God in our midst. Thanks be to God. Amen.